Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yuma Yud Beis. We're right on top of the Amud. On that first line, says the Gemara, "Udukrachim ein matami benegoyim." We're picking up where we left off yesterday. According to Shitas Rabbanon, Ebeis HaKnesses has no mezuzah. Ebeis HaKnesses has no potential tumas negoyim. And the reason is because it's not a designated mokim dira. It doesn't have a defined and specific owner. Rashi says, "Ein lo balam yuchadim." It's a publicly accessed facility. It's a place to daven. And therefore, the Gemara tells us, mezuzah, which needs to be mezuzah space secha, needs to be a mokim dira, something which has a defined and specific owner. If his knesses doesn't conform to that, therefore there's no mezuzah there. Likewise, negoyim, which only apply to something which is considered achuzaschem, base eretz achuzaschem, has to be your domain, your territory, your possession, something which is specifically yours. But a shul, base haknesses, base medrash, these public areas, the public domain, they're not considered your dir, they're not miyucha to you, and therefore there's no mezuzah, and there's no tumas negoyim. However, the Gemara tells us, it depends where the Beis HaKnesses is situated. If it's in a small-time kfar, that's considered like a shutfus, merely like an ownership. And we learned yesterday, a Beis HaShutfin is chayiv mezuzah and has nega. It's jointly owned by the members of the town. That's okay. But if it's sitting in a krach, in a large-sized town, an international city, accessed by wayfarers coming and going, that's considered a mokum tzibur, that's considered publicly owned, and it's not considered something which has a specific owner, as Rashi used the words, ein lo bala miyuchadim, and therefore doesn't constitute a proper malkam dira, a proper achuza, a proper bias, and the fact that it doesn't have a defined, designated owner exempts it from nega and from chiyah of mezuzah. Says them on the top line. Do you mean to say if it's a knesset situated in a large city is not tummy through nega? Vatani, we have a brisa which tells us otherwise. Achuzaschem is the pasuk referring to nega in a home. The pasuk says v'nasati nega tzaras beveis eretz achuzaschem. It needs to be your territory, your possession, your domain. Achuzaschem mitama benegoyim. Only if it's actually yours, then it has potential tumas negoyim. V'ein Yushalayim mitama benegoyim, but a home in Yushalayim cannot have tumas negoyim. The reason is because Yushalayim was not split amongst the Shvatim. It remained an international city. All Shvatim had joint ownership in Yushalayim, joint access, joint use, and therefore it's not considered Meyuchad, doesn't have a balam meyuchadim, and there's no tumas negoyim in Yerushalayim according to Tanakam. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, I disagree. Ani lo shemati. I only heard that there is an exemption from negoyim only elo mokim migdash bilvad, only in the actual Beis HaMikdash. That's different because that was jointly financed by all of Yisrael. David HaMelech, when he purchased the granary from the Tsar of Yevusi, Arvoina HaYevusi, and collected 50 shekel per shevet, for a total of 600 shkalim, to purchase, to finance the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's considered to be jointly owned by all Yisrael, because it was financed by them. But Yerushalayim, in general, was split amongst the Shvatim. Part of it was considered Yehuda's territory, part Binyamin's territory, and it has Baal HaMiyuchad, it has a designated owner, and has potential tumas negoyim. Yerushalayim is exempt. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it has negoyim. Says the Gemara, let's make a diuk. Only the Mokim Migdash is pater from nega according to Rabbi Yehuda. What about shuls, whether in Yerushalayim or elsewhere? Habat in Hesias, who pater in Midrashas, mitamer min negoyim. According to him, a shul can have too much negoyim. Va'afakav de krachem ninu, although they're found in large cities, apparently. Even a Beis HaKnesses in a large city is chayiv in mezuzah and can have nega. It's considered to be jointly owned by whoever built the shul, etc. And it's considered a makom dirah. Answers the Gemara, Ema, let's reword, let's reinterpret Rabbi Yehuda. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, ani lo shamati, I only heard that there's an exemption from the goyim, Ela mokim mekudash volvad. Unless it's a mokim mekudash, it has neg. I mean, Yerushalayim has negoim, but a mokim mekudash, a place that has kedusha, such as Beis Hamikdash, or a shul, a Beis HaKnesses, or a Beis HaMedrash, there will be no tumas neg on that place. So at this point, if it's a shul, a Beis HaMedrash, or Beis HaMikdash, there's no tumas negoim. It's not considered to have a designated owner. But Yerushalayim, well, that depends. If it was split territorially amongst the Shvatim, then there is Tumas Negoim. That's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, according to Tanakama, it was Loin Eschakel Shvatim, and there's no Tumas Negoim. But Maika Miflagi, what's the basis of this Machlekes? Tanakama Savar, Yerushalayim Loin Eschakel Shvatim. Tanakama holds, Yerushalayim was not split, was not divvied amongst the Shvatim. It remained a jointly owned and operated city, in which case all have access, all have usage rights to Yerushalayim. And it's not considered Achuzas Chem. It's not yours. It's not, doesn't have a defined, designated owner. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Yerushalayim is Chakul Shvatim. He also was divvied amongst the Shvatim. Part of it belonged to Yehuda, part of it to Binyamin. It's considered your place, and nega will apply. And of course, if you look in the Sefer Yehoshua, you find that all of Eretz Yisrael was divided amongst the Shvatim. Asks the Chazon Ish, what does the Gemara mean? It wasn't L'schak L'Shvatim. The Pesukim seem to indicate otherwise. Part of Eretz Yisrael, part of Yerushalayim was given to Yehuda, part of Binyamin. He says, of course, the actual territory, the actual Nachla, the inheritance, the possession, was certainly granted to these respective Shvatim, considered their estate. But when we say L'Neschak L'Shvatim, we mean to say it wasn't given to them completely. It was given conditionally. Sure, it's your estate, it's your territory. But all of Israel have access, they have usage rights. In fact, we're going to see that you can't charge rent during the Yomim Tovim, because all visitors have full usage rights in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, according to this sheet. So this is the Machlekes. According to Tanakama, Loi Neschak L'Shvatim, it wasn't granted completely to the Shvatim, in which case all of Yisrael have usage rights, and it's considered a public area, public domain. There's no nega in this place. It's not Achuzaschem. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, it wasn't a Neschak L'Shvatim. It was granted completely and totally to Yehuda and Binyamin, each one had a chelik of Yerushalayim, in which case it has a defined owner, it has a balim yuchadim, and it has potential tumas negoyim. Ubeplukta dalei tanoi, this machlekes is in line with another machlekes tanoim, who are also discussing this same issue: was Yerushalayim split or not split? The sign, mahayu bechelkel shel Yehuda, which part belonged to Yehuda? Let's start from Mizrach, go till Ma'ariv. Harabayis, Halishkois, Vazoris, that belonged to Yehuda. That was his personal territory. It wasn't a Schalitim, Chelkashid, it's his. He has complete access. It's exclusively his. Umahoye Bechelkash Binyamin. Which portion belonged to Binyamin? Ulam, so past the Azor, now we're going to the Ulam, Behechol, Beis Kotcha Kadosh. That part of the Beis HaMikdash, that land was part of Binyamin's territory. Now, what about the place in the middle where the Mizbeach stood? So there was some sort of confusion. Part of it was Binyamin's territory and part Yehuda's. Uritzua haisa yoitza mechelkosh Yehuda. There was a small strip of land protruding from Yehuda's territory. So Yehuda was the eastern side. And there was a Ritzua sticking into Binyamin's territory, so going towards the west. V'nechneses l'chalkel shel Binyamin, into Binyamin's chelk, u'bahayu mizbeach boni, on which the mizbeach was built. Meaning like this, mizbeach was actually built on Binyamin's nachla, This was a key of Yaakov Avinu's promise. He says, Le'erev Yechal Shol, the psukim were there in Vayechi, tell us that Yaakov Avinu promised that Binyamin will host the Mizbeach. Now the Mizbeach, on its very bottom, had something called a Yisoit, sort of foundation, which was sticking out of the Mizbeach, an Amma, on each side. So you have the Mizbeach, and the bottom, towards the floor, you have something, a Yisoit, sticking out. Now potentially, the Yisoit will surround the Mizbeach on all four sides. However, there was a problem. Because there was a Ritzu, a small strip of land, coming from Yehuda, protruding into Binyamin's territory, which hugged the eastern and southern sides of the Mizbeach, the Mizrach and the Dorm. And therefore, there could not have been a Mizbeach on that tract of land. So that's where the Yisoid should have been, and therefore there was no Yisoid on Mizrach and Dorm of the Mizbeach, because the Mizbeach and all its parts were meant to be situated on Binyamin's territory. So the actual Mizbeach was on Binyamin, as well as its Yisoid, but because on the Mizrach and Dorm of the Mizbeach, we had a Ritzua surrounding it, a Ritzua of Yehuda surrounding it, that area could not have had any Mizbeach on it, and there was no Yisoid on that side. So if we're working from east to west, Yehuda has the Arabayis, Lishkois, Azoris, stops right there, then begins the Mizbeach, which is in Binyamin's territory, which continues on to the Heichal, Kodesh HaKadoshim. Problem is that on the eastern side of Mizbeach, and on the southern side, Mizrach and Dorm, there was a small piece of land protruding out of Yehuda into Binyamin, and that precluded any Yisoid from being built and positioned on that spot, because the Mizbeach, in its entirety, was meant to be on Binyamin's territory. So again, Ritzua is Yoytzim Mechalka Shei Yehuda, V'nichneses Lechalka Shei Binyamin, U'bohi Mizbeach Ponim. Ubinyamin HaTzadik, Hayim Mitztair Aleh, Binyamin HaTzadik, he had Ruach HaKodesh, and he foresaw that there was a small strip of Yehuda's land sort of interfering with the Mizbeach, with his ability to completely host the Mizbeach. And he perhaps viewed it as a chesaron in himself. Why can I not completely host the Mizbeach? He was Mitztair, he was in distress about it. On a daily basis, he was seeking to swallow it. He wished that he could overtake that strip of land to have the Mizbeach completely built and built on his territory. Rashi says, like a person who's scratching, scraping himself, rubbing his hair, in distress and anxiety. So he had that yearning to be the one, to be the host of the entire Mizbeach. And on account of that yearning, he was zoicha to something special. Lefichach zocha Binyamin HaTzadik v'nase oish bizchan gvur. He became the host for Gvura, referring to the Arain, which has the Luchah, which has the Shechina, which was actually situated in his territory, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shenemar being safe of Shechin, referring to the Shechina resting between the shoulders, referring to the Shechina resting in Kodesh HaKadoshim in Binyamin's territory. So according to this Tana, Yerushalayim, and even the ground beneath the Beis HaMikdash, was granted to these respective Shvatim, Pata Yehuda, Pata Binyamin. He held Yerushalayim was Nischak l'Shvatim. V'hai Tana Savar, but the following Tana holds, Yerushalayim loy Nischak l'Shvatim. Yerushalayim was left international, was not territorially granted to any Shevet over the other. The Sanya, as we learned, Ein maskirin batim Yerushalayim. We're not meant to rent out homes in Yerushalayim. The Mefarshim explain, it's referring specifically to the time of Yontif. You're not meant to charge rent from the Eilu Regalim, because that was their right. Look, you build a house in Yerushalayim, fine, live there throughout the year. But it's on condition that come Eilu Regal time, you'll host people in your home rent-free, because it's not really theirs. Now, he's explained earlier, of course, it belonged to him and it was his territory, whether Yehuda or Binyamin, but it was given with the condition that Klal Yisrael still retains usage rights in Yerushalayim. So no rent for the other regel. Rab Lezer, Tzadikaymer, Afli Mitas. You cannot even charge for them using your beds because the makim under the beds as well belongs to them. So there's no rent in Yerushalayim. Because of that, Lefichach, the Chacham instituted some sort of practice where they would at least tip the owner, tip the host. Oyreis Kadashim, the skins, the hides of the karbanis brought by visitors on Yom Tov. Bali Oish Pezichnin, the owners, the hosts, Neutlin Oishnam Bezroid would rightfully, forcibly take that as a sort of pseudo payment for their services. Amar Abaye Shemamne, we learn from here. Although in this case it was instituted and it was halachically mandated, but generally we see from here that it is an appropriate practice to do that. It's derech eretz, to leave something behind for your host. Derech eretz, derech eretz l'mishpak inesh, that a person should leave behind gulfa, his jug, or mashkan, they hide from his animal, if he has it. L'shpizei, leave it behind for the owner, for the host. In that case, we have machlekes tanoim, whether Yerushalayim was granted exclusively to Yehuda ben Yamin, or is left as a publicly accessed city, publicly used city, and did no renting. So this corresponds to the sheet as mentioned earlier, Rabbi Yehuda and Tana Kama, regarding whether or not Yerushalayim has potential tumas negoyim. Behold, Yerushalayim wasn't a schalkel shvatim, then it's considered like it has specific designated owners and there is tumas negoyim. That's Rabbi Yehuda's sheet. Tana Kama holds it's pata from negoyim because it's loin is schalkel shvatim. It doesn't have a specific designated owner. One more kasha, says the Gemara. Yesterday we mentioned that according to Rabbanon, Ebis HaKnesses is pater from mezuzah, has no tumas negoyim because it's a publicly used area. It's part of the public domain. It's not considered like a balam yuchadim, but if it's in a small time town and a kfar, then it's no worse than a partnership, no worse than a shutfas. It's not really considered part of the public's domain. A shul and a kfar can have tumas negoyim. V'atani, we learned in a brayse. La achuza. Pasuk says, when you'll come into Eretz Yisrael, which I give you la achuza, it's your territory. We learn from here, it has to be yours. It has to be fully acquired and designated to you. Achiyich b'shu oisa. It only works once they conquer Eretz Yisrael. So entering into Israel is not sufficient. They have to actually conquer it and acquire it. Suppose they captured Israel, but they haven't yet divided up amongst the Shvatim. Or perhaps they went to that stage. They divided amongst themselves to the Shvatim. But they didn't yet divide it amongst the families. So we have a tract of land per Shevet, but it hadn't yet been divided amongst the families within the Shevet. It's as yet undesignated, undefined, or chokal beis avos. They did go ahead and split it amongst the families. Ve'enkel echad makir shalei, but within the family itself, they haven't gotten around to splitting it amongst the individuals. So it's as of yet still undefined and undesignated. Minayin, how do we know that there's no nega here? It's not considered miyuchad. Tamaloyim abash le'abayis. The pasuk says the fellow who owns the house will go to the kohen and present him, tell him about the nega and back home. We learn from here, asher loy habayit has to be miyuchad to him. Mishe miyuchad loy. It only works if the house has been designated to you. Yotzu elo, as opposed to all these cases mentioned, shem miyuchad loy. They have not yet been designated. Although you have ownership, but it's an undefined ownership. And therefore there's no tumas in the goyim. Says the Gemara, why is a shul in a town any different? It's a mokim tzibur. It's a place where everyone comes to daven. And that should not be considered a mokim that has a balam yuchadim, a defined and designated owner. And why would it be chayiv b'mezuzah? Why would you say it has tumas negayim? Elam Chavarta says, apparently the correct approach is kedesh shanan mikor, as we learned earlier. And the other two ritzim in the Gemara, at the end of yesterday's daf, that a shul is only chayiv, a mezuzah, or can have nega, if it has a base dira lechazen. If in the shul there's a place of residence, a room where the attendant lives, yeah, then the shul is considered makam dira. But otherwise, just your typical shul that has no beis dira, will have no nega, will have no mezuzah, irrelevant of whether it's in a large-sized town or a small-time town, large-sized city or small-time town, because in either case, it's accessed by the public. It's meant, the place meant to daven together, and therefore it's not considered a place that has a defined and designated owner. So conclusion, regarding Tumas Nekoim, if it's a home owned by partners to Yisraelim, yeah, that's okay. That's considered a place that has designated owners. Although it's more than one owner, but they both own it together. It's Balam Yuchad, it's defined and designated owners. Beis HaMikdash, going to all shittas, has no Nekoim, whether because it's part of Yishalayim, which was never really fully granted to individual owners, or whether according to Rabbi Yehuda, because it was financed jointly by all of Yisrael. And certainly, that takes on a different type of din and ownership. It's jointly owned and operated by all of Yisrael, and has no Tumas Negoim. Regarding Yishalayim of Machlekes, according to Tanakam, there's no Tumas Negoim, because it still belongs to all Yisrael. It was lent as Chakal Shvatim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, has Tumas Negoim. Even Yerushalayim was Neschak Lishvat. Regarding Beis HaKnesses, we learned that Reb Meir says, Beis HaKnesses is no worse off than a partnership, and there is Tumas Negoim, going to Rabbanon. Whether it's in a large city or small-time town, there's no Tumas Negoim because it's not considered a place that has Baal Miuchadim, defined and specific owners. It's a public area, it's a shul meant to be accessed by the public. Continues the Gemara, Mishnah tells us we designate a backup Kohen Gadol just in case something goes wrong with the original Kohen Gadol. Now we learned earlier back on Daf Dalet, there's a concept called Ribui Shiva, Rashi explained, in order to become a Kohen Gadol. So first, as Tosis will tell us, the Kohen, the Melech and the other Kehanim would appoint the Kohen Gadol. It would verbally appoint him. But then he has to demonstrate his position. He has to go ahead and show that he's a Kohen Gadol. And we need that Ribui. Ribui means he'll do the Avodah with his eight Begadim, which is a visible demonstration and a confirmation of his position. Problem is, if he's needed on Yom Kippur, how is he going to have that Chinuch, that inauguration process done? He has to step in right away to fill in. The Kohen Gadol dropped out. It says in Rav Pshita, in the following case, it's pretty simple. Let's say Iraboy Psul Koidem Tamid Shel Shachar. The first Kohen Gadol became Pasul before he got a chance to bring the morning Tamid. The morning Tamid is meant to be brought with eight Begadim. We know throughout Yom Kippur there was a back and forth between various Begadim. At times the Kohen Gadol wear all eight Begadim, which we call Bidei Zav, and at times he would only wear the four Bidei Lavan, the Mitznefes, the Ksoinis, the Mechonosnaim, the Avnit, which were completely white, made of linen. So he would alternate between eight and four. Tamid Shel Shachar was to be done with eight Begadim. So if the second Kohen steps in before Tamid Shel Shachar, the process is pretty simple. He'll just do the Tamid Shel Shachar with his eight big day kahuna, in which case he's truly demonstrating that he's a Kohen Gadol. He's doing a voida with eight begadim. Can't get better than that. So Pshita, it's simply Pashit in the case where Ira Boy Psul Kodim Tamid Shel Shachar, suppose the primary Kohen Gadol encounters a Psul before Tamid Shel Shachar, and the second Kohen steps in. Mechan Chon Oysa, you inaugurate him by Tamid Shel Shachar. He wears the eight begadim and does Tamid Shel Shachar, and then he's okay. That's pretty simple. Ela ira by psul achar tamid shel shachar. But suppose the psul occurs after tamid shel shachar, and now he's up to the next stage in the avoid of Yom Kippur, which does not require all eight begadim, only requires four begadim. Big day lava. B'mamachan chloisoi. What are we going to use to do chinuch for the Kohen Gadol to show that he's a Kohen Gadol? Omer of adabar ava be'avnet. Through the avnet, through the belt. Because on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol switches over to Big Day Lavan, to the four Big Day Lavan, the hat, the shirt, the pants, the belt, they're all completely white, made of linen, and different than the belt of a kohen hedi throughout the year, which is made of kalaim, colored wool and linen material. So the fact that he's wearing four begadim, all made of white, is a true demonstration of his position, the fact that he was appointed kohen gadol. Let's take a look at Rashi. So we back up around four or five lines up in Rashi. We see the Divrei Maaskel by Ben Machan Chanois. So it's after Tomet Shal Shachar. What are we going to do now? What's the problem? Hari Avoidat Yom HaKippurim Shachar Atomet Ba'arba Begodim. The next stage of Avoidat after Tomet Shal Shachar is merely done with four Begodim. Ba'arba Begodim, with the white ones. And it won't be visible that he's a Kohen Gadol. U'bamehu Nikar. In what way would it be visible? Shu Kohen Gadol Me'olam. Ve'echen Yotzem Ha'edyoitos. In what way does he leave the kohen hedid status? Interesting, Lashon Rashi. How's he going to leave the hedid status and acquire the higher madrega of kohen gadol? Should they avoid this hayom nas kohen gadol to enable the rest of the avoda to be done with the kohen gadol? What way is he going to demonstrate that he's achieved, that he's acquired the madrega of kohen gadol? Ba'avnet, ba'oysan dal b'gadam atzmen yishakel kohen gadol. Within those four big day lovers, we still have some hacker, something that sets him apart from a kohen hedit. Why? Shavnete she kohen gadol by avodas kippurim shabutzu, because all four begadim, including the belt of the kohen gadol kippur, are made of white material. So when he switches over to the four white begadim, they're completely white. That's unique and exclusive to the kohen gadol. V'zeh ad achshav, this fell until this point when he's still a hedit. He rogel lavad b'shal kilayim. His belt, his avnet was kalayim, was colored kalayim material. The fact that he's wearing four begadim completely white, that's a true demonstration of the fact that he's a kohen gadol. Says the Gemara, okay, that works according to the shita that holds that a kohen hedit throughout the year wore a colored belt. This is really a machlekes. We had this earlier in the Masechta. Says the Gemara, nichlam and omar, that works according to the shita, that avnetei shel kohen gadol zehu avnetei shel kohen hedit. Now the belt that a kohen gadol wears throughout the year, the colored belt, is identical to the avnet of a kohen hedit. All avnetim, all belts worn in the Beis Hamikdash throughout the year were all colored material. So this fellow until now wore a colored belt. Kam Yom Kippur, he turns into a kohen gadol. He's holding by the avodas hayayim. He needs four big day lovin, and they're all completely white, snow white. Pretty clear and evident that he became a kohen gadol. Elo lemad omar avnete she kohen gadol loy zehu avnete she kohen hedit. But according to the other shita, says that all of the avnete of a kohen gadol throughout the year was colored, but it was not identical to the avnete of a kohen hedit, whose avnete was white, similar to his other begadim, which were white. So now we have no heker. We have nothing to show that he's a kohen gadol. Because throughout the year he wore four big day lovin, including the belt which was lovin, and now he's again doing the same thing. He's wearing four big day lovin as a kohen gadol. Who knows that he's a kohen gadol? There's nothing to demonstrate that he's a kohen gadol. My ikalamema, what are we going to do now? All right, bye, I have an idea. Although he doesn't really need to wear eight begadim now. He's holding at the point where only four begadim are required. Let's make up. Let's initiate some sort of avoida that will require eight begadim. And he'll do that at this point, thereby showing off that he's a kohen gadol and accomplishing the concept of riba begadim and chinuch. Om rabbi, lo yivish shmoina. He puts on the full gear of eight big day kuhuna gadolah. Takes a tzinor, a pitchfork, and flips over some of the avorim on the mizbeach to expedite the burning process. And that's, although not required, but it's, if it's done, it's an avoida. And since he's wearing eight begadim, it's pretty clear that he's a kohen gadol. Ukta Rafuna, Dom Rafuna tells us, Zor shehipech b'tzinor chayv misa. If a non-kohen enters and takes a tzinor and flips over the avorim on the mizbeach, it's chayiv misa because it's contributing to the avoida, to that karbas carbon, which a zor may not do. Likewise, says Abaye, let him simply put on his eight begadim engage in this sort of activity, in which case he's displaying the fact that he's a Kohen Gadol, then take off the 8, put on his 4, and continue with the Avodah Zarah. Rav Papa Amar says, I have another approach. Forget about the 8 begotten, that's not needed. Avodasa Menchan Chasim, the actual Avodah of Yom Kippur, will provide chinuch, will inaugurate him. How does that work? Says Rashi up on top. Avodasa Menchan Chasim, Avodah Yom Kippurim Atzma, She'enu K'sher El B'Kohen Gadol. Let's keep in mind, Avodah Yom Kippur was only to be done by Kohen Gadol. The fact that he's engaging in this form of Hakrov of Avodah, which is specifically designated for Kohen Gadol and only Kohen Gadol, doesn't that show that he's a Kohen Gadol? Why else is he engaging in this Avodah? So this in itself is a true demonstration of his newfound position. The fact that he's doing the Avodah, which is a Kohen Gadol Avodah, this in itself has a boomerang effect on him, and this in itself is machanachem to the Avodah that he's doing. So it sort of happens simultaneously. The fact that he's engaging in Kohen Gadol type Avodah, that in itself turns him into a Kohen Gadol and shows that he was appointed as a Kohen Gadol. Really, Tanya, haven't we learned in the Braisa in a similar fashion, all the clay shores that Moshe fashioned, the fact that you anoint them with the Shema and Mishcha, that gives it Kedusha. But that was unique to that period, to that time. Mikan Ve'elach, past that point, all the other clay shores acquired by the Mishkan, by the Beis HaMikdash, did not require applying Shema and Mishcha. So how did they become Kaddish? Avodasa Mechan Chasam, using them for the Avodah Beis HaMikdash, that in itself inaugurates them. So it happens simultaneously. Hachanam here as well, by Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. Avodasa Mechan Chasam. In fact, he's doing this unique Avodah, which is exclusive to Kohen Gadol. This in itself is a true demonstration and manifestation of his Kohen Gadol position. So conclusion, how do we do Chinuch on Yom Kippur? We have one of four options. If it's before the Tumah Shel Shachar, puts on 8 Begadim and does the Tumah. In which case he's doing Avodah with 8 Begadim, showing that he's a Kohen Gadol. If it's after the Tumah Shel Shachar, he puts on the 4 Big Day Lovin, which includes a white belt, which is different than a Kohen Hedid. So Reb Shat, he puts on 8 Begadim, and his Mahapech puts in Noir on the Mizbech. Fourth pshat, the Avodah itself is mechanachem, even if he's only wearing things that appear, begadim which appear like Big Day Hedid, 4 Big Day Lovin, which don't set him apart from a Hedid. The fact that he's doing something which is only allowed to a Kohen Gadol, that in itself accomplishes chinuch. So now we discussed the material from which the Avnet was made. So perhaps a short introduction is in place. We have different types of belts. We have the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So when he wore the 8 Begadim, of course, his belt was Kalayim, like the other Big Days of. When he wore 4 Big Day Lavan, we just mentioned, they were all 4 completely white, Shalbutz. There's no discussion regarding that. The Machlekes is regarding the Avnet of the Kohen Hedyot throughout the year. This is really based on the Pesukim. We had this back on Daf Vav. It says Vayachar Oysom Avnet, which sounds like all belts are meant to be similar and identical to each other. We have another part which seems to set them apart. So based on those psukim, we have machlekas. From which material was the Kohen Hedyot's belt made of? Was it similar to his other begadim, which were all white? Or were all the belts made of the same material? And just as the Kohen Gadol's belt throughout the year was Kelayim, likewise the Kohen Hedyot's belt. They're all made of the same material. This is going to be a machlekes tanai. Ki also Rav Dimi arrived from Eretz Yisrael. Omar, he related the following halacha. Avnet she kohen hedyot. From what material was the avnet of the kohen hedyot made? From machlekes between Rebbe, Rebbe Lezer of Shem. Chadamar one says shal kalayim was made of colored material, wool and linen kalayim. V'chad Omar shal butz. The other one maintains that it was made of white material, which is similar to his other begadim, just like his mitznefes, his ksoinis, mechansayim, were made of white linen. Likewise, his avnet, why should we differentiate between the begadim of the Kohen Hedyot? Now, we're not sure who said what. We have Rebbe, who has Rebbe Shimon. This time will prove the Rebbe who the Amar. Rebbe is the one who holds shel kalayim, that the avnet of the Kohen Hedyot throughout the year was made of colored kalayim material, similar to the Kohen Gadol's Avnet. How do you know Rabbi holds this opinion? The Sanya. Ein bein Kohen Gadol leKohen Hedit. El Avnet. The only difference between Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedit regarding Bigdei Kohuna is the belt. Divrei Rabbi. That's Rabbi Shita. Rabbi Lezer b'Shimon Omer Aflei Avnet. You know what? Even the belt doesn't stand between them. They both wear the same belt. Now let's try to analyze what's the Bryce is speaking about. Amos, at what point of the year? Inim b'Shomer Sashana, we're speaking about the rest of the year. So the begadim worn by Kohen Hedit and Kohen Gadol are similar, identical, except for the Avnet, as Rabbi says. What do you mean? That's the only difference. Tu v'ikam. There's so many other differences. Kohen Gadol mishamash v'shmoin. Kohen Gadol wears 8 begadim. Hedit v'abon. Kohen Hedit wears only 4. What do you mean? There's no difference between the two. El alav yom kippur. Apparently we're speaking about Yom Kippur. Since the Kohen Gadol alternates between 8 and 4, we're referring to the time when he's wearing 4 white begadim, the mitznefes, the ksainis, mechassayim, and avnit. The Braisa tells us, look, there's really no difference, not much of a difference, between the 4 white begadim that a Kohen Gadol will wear on Yom Kippur and the ordinary begadim, the 4 begadim worn by a Kohen Hedit. They're both white. The only one difference is the avnit. Why? Because whereas a Hedit wears a colored avnit, Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur wears totally white. And this is Rabbi Shita, which proves that Rabbi holds the avnit of a Kohen Hedit throughout the year is kilayim. Amri the Bnei Yeshiva responded, no, not so fast. Look, no, not necessarily. We could reinterpret the Brayso, in which case you won't have clarity regarding Shita's Rabbi as you proposed. La'olam b'shaimus hashana, perhaps we'll seek him out throughout the year. Brayso is saying there's no difference between Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedit throughout the year except for the avnit. And your question was, there's much more differences. He wears 8, he wears 4. What do you mean there's no difference? U'baharach d'shavim. The Braisa specifically focusing on those 4 begadim which are worn by both Kohen Gadol and Hedit. Of course, Kohen Gadol wears 8. We're not discussing all 8 begadim that he wears. We're focusing on those begadim which are worn by both Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedit. The mitznefes, the ksoinis, the chasayim, the avit. Regarding those begadim, there's really not much of a difference between the two, except for the avnit, according to Rabbi. Meaning that the Kohen Gadol's avnit is kilayim, and the Kohen Hedit is white. So perhaps Rabbi really holds that a Kohen Hedit will wear white avnit. Unlike your earlier suggestion, that Rabbi holds a Hedit wears an avnit of kilayim. So we're not clear about this. Continues the Gemara, now we'll have clarity. Kiyasa Ravin, when Ravin came from Yisrael, he presented the Shitas with greater detail and greater clarity, that indeed Rabbi is the one that holds that a Kohen Hedit's belt throughout the year was made of kilayim, which is identical to the Kohen Gadol's avnit. Kiyosu Rav and Omar, he explained as follows. Let's go down the list. Avnet shel Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippurim. We know that Yom Kippur, at some point, the Kohen Gadol will wear 4 big day lavan, and his belt, in this case, was completely white. Divrei HaKol shel Butz all agree it was made of linen. There's no question about that. We have a pasuk, which teaches us that everything that he wore was white. B'shayim is Hashana, the Kohen Gadol's avnet throughout the year. Again, there's no discussion there. Divrei HaKol shel Kilayim. All agree it's Kilayim. It's similar to his other begadim, the Me'il, etc., which were made of wool, linen, colored material. So again, there's no machlekes. Lo nechelku. Ella, when is the machlekes? Only ba'avnet shel Kohen Hedit. What type of belt did the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Hedit wear? Ben b'shayim is Hashana. Ben Yom Kippurim, whether throughout the year or Yom Kippur. Shirebi Omer Shel Kelayim. Rabbi holds, don't differentiate between belts. All belts were created equal. The Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedit wore a colored wool and linen belt. The avnit was made of the same material. Rabbi Shimon Omer Shel Butz. He maintains, no, that the avnit of a Hedit was made of linen, was white, and different than the avnit of a Kohen Gadol, which was of Kelayim. So it's pretty clear that regarding the avnit of a Kohen Hedit throughout the year, Rabbi holds it was made of kilayim material, the Rabbi Shimon was made of white linen. Omar of Nachmar Yitzchak afanana mitanina. We'll prove from our Braisa that indeed Rabbi is the one that holds this position, avnit of a Hedit was kilayim. The pasuk here is discussing Trumas Hadeshen, where the Kohen would take a scoop of ash off the Mizbeach. The pasuk says the Kohen is meant to get dressed. Umichnesei bad yilbash absorit. So he wears a shirt, he wears pants. And once we have the words absorit, umichnesei bad yilbash absorit on his flesh, matam loyma yilbash. Why does the pasuk say yilbash absorit? He wears, of course. It's on his flesh, he's wearing it. Yilbash is extra to teach us. Lahavi mitznefes v'avneit laromes hadesh. Did Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Yilbash is coming to add two more articles of clothing. Well, the pasuk only lists shirt and pants. Yilbash will add the other two begadim as well. The kohen needs to wear all four begadim, mitznefes, ksoines, mechnasayim, and avneit, to enable him for the trumas hadesh. Rabbi Daisa Omer, Yilbash is coming to teach us something else. Lahavi bigdei kohen gadol b'mekipurim. It's coming to teach us that the white begadim worn by the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, although they cannot be reused next year, we'll learn this from a pasuk coming up in the Gemara soon. However, they can be used by a Kohen Hedid, they can be recycled and be used by a Kohen Hedid throughout the year. Sheing share in the Kohen Hedid, and that's what the pasuk Yilbash is coming to tell us. He can wear even those begadim already previously used by a Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi responds to Abdai, said, look, I have two problems with your suggestion, one practically and one halachically. Shtei tshuvas bedavar. How can you say that a Kohen Hedid will rewear those four begadim worn by a Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur? Practically, it doesn't work. Chada, number one, the avnei shel Kohen Gadol v'yom kippur, the avnei worn by a Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, which was totally white, loy zehu avnei shel Kohen Hedid, wasn't the same as the one worn by a Kohen Hedid, who was meant to wear a colored kilayim of it. So even those four big day love that the Kohen Gadol would wear in Kippur, and he wasn't wearing his big day zav, were different than a hedid. They were completely white, and are not roy for a hedid who needs to wear an avnet of kilayim. It's pretty clear that Rabbi holds a hedid to his kilayim. So that's Rav Nachman Yitzchak's right. It's a clear braisa as per Rabbi Shid. So this is my practical challenge to your suggestion. V'oid, number two, how can you allow a downgrading of those bidei kahuna? Begadim shenishtamsha ben kedusha chamur. These begadim, which were used for a very lofty goal, for a avoid of Yom Kippur, a high level of kedusha, tishamash ben kedusha kala, you allow it to be used for a lower level kedusha, for a simple avoid throughout the year. Now, I'm going to downgrade adavash ben kedusha. Therefore, says Rabbi, I disagree with your interpretation of the pasuk. It's not referring to the big day Kohen Gadol, which can be worn throughout the year. Ella, rather, Matam Adoyma Yilbash. What is Yilbash coming to include? The Rabbi says, Ashchokan, to come to tell us like this. You can use even worn out big day Kohen for Avoida. It doesn't have to be fresh and crispy. It's fine. And that's what Yilbash is coming to tell us. Now, Rabbi Deisa was the one who said, you can use the big day Kohen Gadol throughout the year. But Azda, Rabbi Deisa Tamir, Rabbi Deisa follows his Shita, the Sanya. V'nicham Sham. The Pasuk here is telling us that the white begadim worn by the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, when he's done, v'nicham sham, leave him there. What's the extra word, v'nicham sham? Melamed shetun and gnisa. They must be hidden and cannot be reused. Rabbi Deisa Omer, shlo yishtamash ben yom kippurim achar. Certainly they can be reused throughout the year. V'nicham sham is, they can't be reused next year in Yom Kippur. For Yom Kippur use, it's only a one-time use. But if you want to use it throughout the year, that's okay. And this is in line with his Shita and the Brisa earlier, that the word al-basari is coming to tell us that the Kohen Hedid throughout the year can go ahead and wear big day kahuna already used by the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. Apparently, Rabbi Deisa is not concerned about downgrading here because you can't use them any longer for Yom Kippur. It's not roi for its primary designation. That's not considered a downgrade. At least let us salvage it for some sort of use and use it for the Kohen Hedid throughout the year. Therefore, he says it's mutter to be used throughout the year for the Kohen Hedid. So, in conclusion, once again, we have the avnet worn by Kohen Hedid throughout the year. Is it kelayim or was it boots? Machlokes Tanoim. The word yilbash by Trumas Hadeshen, what is it coming to add? We have several opinions. According to one, coming to add the other begadim not mentioned in the pasuk. He needs to have all four begadim to enable him for Trumas Hadeshen. Rabbi Deisa says to allow him to use Big Day Kuna Gedoyla, already used in Yom Kippur. According to Rabbi, Nrabois es hashchok. Tan rabbanon ira by psul uminu acher tachtav. Suppose a psul occurs with the primary kohen gadol, and they appointed his vice president in his place. The reserve kohen stepped in to fill his position. Now the first kohen is back in business. He became tar. What happens now? Rishon chozel avodasu. The initial kohen gadol is restored back to his position. What happens to the backup kohen, who already achieves the status of kohen gadol? Sheni kol mitzvois kohuna gdol olav. All obligations and privileges of a kohen gadol apply to this fellow as well. Once a kohen gadol, always a kohen gadol. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Rishon chozel avodasu. I agree that the first one is restored back to his position. Sheni, however, his backup, who already served, Einei Roy, Lo Yigla Kohen Gadol, Lo Yigla Kohen Hedid. He's not ready to serve as a Kohen Gadol or Kohen Hedid. So in contrast to Rav Meir says that he'll wear his 8 begadim and serve as a Kohen Gadol, Rav Yosi says no. He can't be a Kohen Hedid who can do avoid it with 4 begadim because he's already acquired that position. He's already considered a Kohen Gadol. He's already been appointed. You can't lose that madrega. So as a kohen hedid, he can't function. Nor can he function as a kohen gadol. He may not do avoda at all. More soon will tell us it's because of evil, concerned about generating animosity and other kind of competition, which is not healthy and not fair to the initial kohen gadol. Or Rabbi Yosi, Masa, in fact, it was a story as such. Yosef ben Elam from Tzipori was a backup kohen gadol. She'iru b'psul b'kohen gadol, and that year there was a psul that happened to the kohen gadol. Uminu tachtav, and he was appointed in his place. And then the first kohen came back to work. The first kohen goes back and is restored to his position. Sheni, the reserve kohen gadol, the vice kohen gadol, in this case it was Yosef ben Elam, Einar roi loy l'kohen gadol v'loy l'kohen hedid. He cannot do avoda as a kohen gadol or as a kohen hedid. Why? Kohen gadol mishum eva. He can't serve as a kohen gadol. It's going to create animosity. Two people occupying the same position, not a healthy situation, and not fair to the initial kohen gadol. So he can't serve in a position of kohen gadol. He can't be oved with 8 begadim. Kohen hedid. Why can't he be a kohen hedid? Too late. Mishum malon b'kodesh v'lo meridin. You only upgrade in matters of kedusha. But you don't downgrade. Once he's been appointed as a kohen gadol, you don't take away that madrega from him. Now, in case you ever wondered, how is a kohen gadol appointed? So Tosfos Divrei Masechta Kohen Gadol Mishum Eved says it's a very simple process. All he needed was a verbal. All he needed was a minui bepeh, a verbal appointment. Kohen gadol mismana bepeh or mistalak bepeh. He says it's mistaver that the dover was tali b'melech u'be'echav ha'kehanim. The king and the kehanim would decide and appoint a kohen gadol, simply verbally appointing him. That was enough to make him a kohen gadol. So in this case, technically, you can go ahead and remove him from his kohen gadol. All you need to tell him is, look, it's over. You're no longer a kohen gadol. But we don't want to do that. Malan b'kodesh and meridim once. He's been given that madrega. We don't want to take it away. So he's in limbo. He cannot do avoda, not in a kohen gadol capacity, nor in a kohen hedid capacity. Omer Rava, Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Yechanan, halacha Rabbi Yosi. In fact, that's the halacha. Umoid Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi would agree. Shim avar v'avad. Suppose the backup kohen goes and does the avoda with his 8 begadim. Avoda sekshera. Certainly it's kosher. Technically, he's still a kohen gadol. We don't want him to do avoda. We don't want him to generate eva. But he's still a kohen gadol. Omer Vidom Rav, halacha Rabbi Yosi. Halacha follows Rabbi Yosi. Umoid Rabbi Yosi. Now, although Rabbi Yosi says, at this point, he should stay at the sidelines, but Rabbi Yosi agrees, she makes Rishon, the first kohen gadol dies, shechoyz lavadasa, certainly the skan kohen gadol is restored back to his position, meaning he's allowed to go ahead and function in the kohen gadol capacity. Because we never really took that away from him. It was only a temporary inhibition. He can't go ahead and create competition, but he's technically a kohen gadol. So when the opportunity presents itself again, certainly he becomes the kohen gadol. Pshita, of course, why would I think otherwise? Ma'od HaTema, perhaps I would say, Havi leitzara mechaim. If we allow this to happen, if we allow the Skan Kohen Gadol to wait on the sidelines for his day to come, it's going to create an uneasy feeling. Get Sura. Sura means a competing wife. A person has two wives. It's called that Sura Zuluzu. So it's not fair to the primary Kohen Gadol to have somebody breathing down his back, awaiting anticipation for a day to come that will pass away and we'll have to take over the position. Having the Tzara Machayim throughout his lifetime is going to create a Tzara situation. Perhaps we should not allow this to happen. Kamash Malon, we're not concerned. Sure, during his lifetime, we still tell him to lie low, but when the opportunity presents itself, the Kohen Gadol passes away, certainly he can take over and assume Kohen Gadol position. So, conclusion, if the first Kohen became Pasul and they will Meman another one in his place, then the first Kohen comes back. Of course, he regains his position. Regarding the other Kohen, according to our mayor, he's considered a Kohen Gadol and does the Avodah, whatever he's going to do. Of course, he can't compete, he can't do Avodah Yom Kippur, but whatever he's going to do, he has to do with his 8 Begadim. Rabbi Yossi says, no, stay on the sidelines, don't get involved, because we don't want to create Eva situation, a competition situation, which is unfair to the original Kohen Gadol. Apparently, Rabbi is not concerned about Eva. Perhaps could explain it based on the words of the Rambam, who says that a Skan Kohen Gadol was not just a reserved Kohen Gadol for a time of need, but actually he would stand on the right of the Kohen Gadol and give him covet. So the Kohen Gadol actually got honored. He got covet from his skan. It contributed to his covet, his honor, to his well-being. So perhaps Rami holds there's no Eva here. His entire position is there to support me and actually gives me covet. And therefore, even if he's going to go do a avodah with 8 begadim, he doesn't view it as a competition. He doesn't see it as somebody undermining his position. He's fully comfortable with it and actually pretty pleased that he has a Kohen Hedi, a Skan Kohen Gadol, who's standing at his side. Okay, time for a brief chazar of today's daf. We began with the concept of Yerushalayim, whether or not it was Nischal Kol Shvatim, and it has ramifications regarding Negoim. In conclusion, we learned that a home owned by Shutfin has Negoim. Beis HaMikdash has no din Negoim, according to all Shittas. It was a communal area, whether because the territory beneath it was considered public territory, or even if not, the fact is it was financed jointly by Klal Yisrael and is considered jointly owned by all. And therefore, is not suitable for Negoim, which needs to be something that has a designated specific owner. Regarding a Negev Yerushalayim, according to Tanakama, there's no Negev because it was not Nischal Kol Shvatim. It was considered a place which is accessed and used by all of Israel and does not conform to Hilchas Negoim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Yerushalayim was Nischal Kol Shvatim and has Negoim. Regarding Beis HaKnesses, according to our mayor, it's no worse than a place of Shutfin and has Negoim and has Mezuzah, according to Rabbanan, regardless where the shul is, Krachim or Kvarim, is considered a communal area and is not a place that has Balam Yuchadim, and therefore is exempt from Mezuzah and has no potential Tumas Nega. How do they do the Chinuch for the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur? We have four options. Either putting on the 8 Big Day Kahuna before the Tomet Shel Shachar, or if it happened after Tomet Shel Shachar, he puts on the 4 white begadim. Amongst them we have a white avnit, which is different than the colored avnit worn by the Kohen Hedi. Third option would be wearing all 8 begadim to engage in some sort of residual avoida, mahapach betzinor and mezbeach. And according to our papa, the very fact that he was engaging in avoida sim kippah, which is something exclusively allowed for the Kohen Gadol, that in itself inaugurates him into that new position. We learned about the avnit of a Kohen Hedi throughout the year. According to Rebbe, it was Shalkalayim. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, it was snow white, like his other begadim. Included regarding the backup Kohen Gadol, who's no longer needed, according to our mayor, he still serves, meaning if he does avoida, he'll have to do with 8 begadim, and he's allowed to do that. There's no concern about Eva, according to Rabbi Yossi. We tell him to stay on the sidelines and don't get involved in any avoida at this point. Why? Because technically he's a Kohen Gadol. He cannot be avoided with 4 begadim. But we don't want him to do avoidah with 8 begadim because it may generate a situation of eva and animosity. Hatzlach rabbi to you, kol tov.